Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. You're always told in public speaking never to begin with an apology. But I will apologise that I did have a tie on when I came in the door, but I couldn't breathe, so my apologies. Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to be able to come together and to worship God. Just got one or two intimations. There's tea and coffee served after the service. And if you're able to stay behind, please do so. The service this evening will be taken at 6 p.m. by Angus M. MacLeod. And during the course of the week, there's the Ladies' Fellowship, Little Fishes, Road to Recovery, the prayer meeting at 7:30 on Wednesday evening. And the prayer meeting this week will be taken by Mr. John McSween. As many of you will be aware, David and the family are away on holiday this week, and as we pray for them, we pray that God will bless them in their time away and that they'll indeed be refreshed and restored. If there are any pastoral issues during the time that David's away, please get in touch with one of the elders in the first instance. If you've got any intimations for the next couple of weeks, in the absence of Emma Killer, if you could notify Andrew Morrison or Duncan McPherson. And God willing, the services next Sunday will be taken by their own minister, and there's details of the church cleaning rota and a reminder for Blythewood shoebox appeal. That's all the intimations that I've been given. We'll begin to worship God singing in the Metrical Psalm 107. Praise God, for he is good, for still his mercies lasting be. Let God's redeemed say so, whom he from the enemy's hand did free, and gathered them out of the lands from north, south, east, and west. They strayed in desert's pathless way, no city found to rest. We do indeed pray that each one of us would find rest in God this morning, and that we would indeed know what it is to praise him, for he is indeed good. Let us stand to sing to God's praise.
To a city.
before God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and our blessed Lord, we do indeed thank you that we can come into your presence this morning and that we can praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are indeed good and that you do indeed, Heavenly Father, long to supply the need of everyone who is weary in this day. And we pray that as we come to you, that as we come and as we gather this morning, that we would indeed have our ears open to your word, our hearts ready to praise you, and our minds open to hear and to understand your word, and the call that it has upon the lives of each and every one of us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come freely before you this morning. We can come freely to worship you. And we pray that we would indeed recognize the importance of coming and worshiping you as our Creator God. You created all things that we see round about us here. The mountains, the valleys, the sea, the sky, the clouds. Heavenly Father, all things you created us for us. Created for us to enjoy. But created, Heavenly Father, that we would see them and that we would think on you. And that we would indeed marvel at the works of your hand. As we come this morning, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would indeed guide us in our worship, direct us in our paths, and that in all things, Heavenly Father, that we would be pointed to Jesus, recognizing that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and he will turn none away that come and call upon his name. Each one of us comes this morning, Heavenly Father, from different homes, from different backgrounds. But you know our needs. And we bring before you, Heavenly Father, those that are brokenhearted in this day. Those, Heavenly Father, that still mourn the loss of loved ones. Even in past days, Heavenly Father, those that have gathered and remembered those that have passed. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your hand would be upon them. And that they would indeed know your hand of blessing at this time, your hand of comfort. We pray for those that are sick. Many, Heavenly Father, within our own congregation that worry over loved ones. We bring them before you this morning asking that your hand would be upon them. You are indeed the great physician. And we bring before you, Heavenly Father, the many burdens that we have for our loved ones at this time. Those that are laid low through illness. Those, Heavenly Father, who are going through the valley. But your word teaches us that even through the valley of the shadow of death, that you are with us. And your rod and your staff, they comfort and they guide us. So we pray that we would know your comfort and we would know your guidance at this time. And that, Heavenly Father, that we would remember that as you were with the disciples in the storm, you are with each and every one of us. And you know our need. And you have promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So we ask, Heavenly Father, for your hand of blessing at this time. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for how we have prayed here, whether in the prayer meeting or from the pulpit here. And we have seen answer. We have seen those that were sick restored. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would continue to persevere in prayer before you. We pray for our young ones, Heavenly Father. We thank you for them. We thank you that we can hear them. And that, Heavenly Father, even in their whispers, we recognize that your word teaches us to suffer the little children to come unto me. For as such is the kingdom of God. So we pray for those that are looked after in the creche. Those that gather here that will go off to Sunday school. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would guide them, that you would direct them, that we would each remember to pray for them. While we remember back on our own childhood and the difficulties, the struggles that we may have faced, we recognize, Heavenly Father, that the world that we live in is a very different place. And what once was wrong is now right, and what was right is now wrong. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we have our young ones here, that we can indeed teach them the truth of your word. that they would be rooted and grounded in your word, and that they would grow to be the men and women that you have ordained for them to be, that they would grow in wisdom and in stature, and they would grow to know and to love you as their Lord and as their Savior. So be with us as we worship this morning. Guide us, direct us, lead us, and may all we do be to honour and glorify you. In Jesus' name we ask this, as we ask for forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Boys and girls, if you want to come down to the front, there'll be Sunday school for the primary school kids after the children's address or after the second singing. How are you all doing today? Enjoying your holidays? Or the thought that you don't need to go back to school tomorrow? You forgot that. There's no school tomorrow, aren't you? The holidays have started. Okay, I've got a picture that I'm going to show you. Hopefully we'll be able to get it on the screen. Okay, can anybody read that? What does it say at the top? Henry? Okay, it's a save the date card. In July last year, June, July 2022, this arrived at our house. I did know it was happening in advance, but this arrived at our house, a date for us to save the date. Yes, Henry?
That's 2022,
yeah. Yeah, but the card came in July 2022. To ask us to save the date of the 13th of May, 2023. Okay? So it was sent out almost a year in advance of the date. Why do you think it was sent out to us?
You probably forget.
Just in case I would forget. It was so that I would mark the calendar and make sure that I saved this date. Not that I was going to forget it. But not only did I get that card, there was a number of other people got it to give them advance notice that Rebecca and Craig were going to get married on the 13th of May, 2023. When you go off to Sunday school, we've been looking in Sunday school the last couple of weeks at parables that Jesus taught, haven't we? Yep. And today we're going to look at a parable of the great banquet when you go off to Sunday school. Not you particularly, but in the larger Sunday school here, we're going to look at the great banquet. And in the great banquet, there's a message put out that there's going to be a banquet taking place. Advance notice is given of a banquet. And then when the banquet is ready, there's an invitation goes out for everybody to come. So we received that in July 2022, giving us notice that Rebecca was getting married. So we marked it off in the diary, and about 12 weeks before the wedding was due to take place, we got another letter through the post with a formal invitation telling us where the wedding was going to take place. It says on there that it's going to take place in Inverness, and there'll be a formal invitation to follow. Well, the formal invitation came and it gave us the time, the location, where we were to go. It even told us what we were going to eat when we got there. Well, it wasn't what we were going to do, it's what we were going to witness. It doesn't say that we're going for a wedding on a card, but it was for us to save the date for it. Okay? But, do you know what we have to save the date for?
When Jesus comes.
Do you know when that date's going to come? That invitation told me that the wedding was going to take place on the 13th of May. Did we know what date Jesus is going to come back? No. It says in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" So Jesus told us that he was going to prepare a place for us. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." But one of the disciples didn't know. man called Thomas, and he said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Where's Jesus just now? He's in heaven. And what is the way that we need to get to heaven? What do we need to do? Sorry? Do we believe in Jesus? We have to believe in Jesus? Yes, sir. We have to pray. We have to pray to Jesus. So Jesus is in heaven. And to get to heaven, we need to know the way. And that's to believe in Jesus. It was what Jesus told us, the truth. Yeah. Why do we know it was the truth? Where do we find it? In the Bible. And the Bible is the word of
God.
Yeah. And why did Jesus say he is the life? What does Jesus offer us?
Life.
Life, what kind of life?
Eternal
life. Okay, so Jesus died on the cross, but the important thing was that he rose again. And he is now alive, and where is he?
In
heaven. And he wants us to be with him, doesn't he? And what do we need to do? We need to
pray
and believe. We need to follow Jesus. And what will we get?
Eternal life.
So as you grow up, and as you go off to Sunday school, and as you learn more about Jesus, you need to remember that Jesus is the way. He's the way to heaven. And we need to believe in him, that he is the truth. And in believing in him, we will have life everlasting if we trust in him. Okay, so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't ever, ever forget that as you grow up. Many people will try and tell you other truths, but the biggest truth that we need to remember is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? We're going to pray, and then we'll sing, and then the primary kids will go off to Sunday school. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our young ones. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the opportunity to teach them that you are indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray that as they grow, that they would indeed know what it is to depend on you, to follow in your way, to learn your truths through the Bible, and in trusting in you, that they would know what it is to have eternal life. So protect them, we pray. Be with those that are away on holiday. We pray for those that will travel tomorrow as they go off to the Mod, that they would know your blessing upon them, and that they would know your protection, but in all things that they would know you, and that they would love you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're now going to sing in Mission Praise 1008, "The Lord's My Shepherd." And I pray that you will know God as your shepherd, and that there'll be nothing else in life that you will want other than following Jesus. Because he leads us by the still waters, he restores our soul, and he guides us and he directs us. So we're going to stand and sing, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul." If you're able, please stand and sing. the children head off, if we can maybe look up Luke chapter 14 as we prepare to read God's word. Luke chapter 14, and we'll read from the beginning of the chapter. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully, and behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull it out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honour, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honour, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honoured in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbours, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to them, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Amen. And may God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can come before you. And we thank you that we can come and we can read your word publicly here. And we pray that as we prepare our hearts to hear what your word has to say to us, that we would put aside anything, Heavenly Father, that would indeed hinder our thought of you, and that we would indeed focus upon you. And Heavenly Father, that our hearts would indeed be attuned to what your word teaches. Not just from this parable, Heavenly Father, but all that your word contains. A word that has been given to us to direct us on how we may glorify and enjoy you forever. And we pray that that would indeed be the chief end of each one of us. Not for us to store up treasures here on earth. Not for us to amass many possessions. Not for us to fully commit ourselves to everything that is work and all that it gives to us. But Heavenly Father, that we would indeed commit ourselves to you. That first and foremost in our lives, that you would indeed be our full desire. So guide us as we come. Create within us that clean heart that you so much desire. And that, Heavenly Father, that we would indeed, and having a clean heart and a heart that is indeed desired to turn unto you, seek to share that message with so many more. So guide us, direct us, lead us, and forgive us for our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we come to look at God's word, we'll sing in Gaelic, then Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and the three stanzas that make up verse 10 to 13 in the Gaelic. Create a clean heart, Lord, renew a right spirit me within. Cast me not from thy sight, nor take thy Holy Spirit away. Restore me thy salvation's joy, with thy free spirit me stay. Then will I teach thy ways unto those that transgressors be, and those that sinners are shall then be turned unto thee. We're given a commission when we come to Christ to go into all the world and to make disciples. If our hearts have been cleaned by God, is the Spirit within us seeking to share God's word? And do we have a desire to see those that are lost found and saved for Christ? We'll sit for singing, and we'll sing in Gaelic.
Yeah.
can turn back in our Bibles, if you have them there before you, to Luke chapter 14 and verse 12. I said when I was speaking to the children that we were going to look at one of the parables of Jesus. And the passage that we have before us is often referred to as the parable of the great banquet. And as we looked at with the children, we received a date card for the wedding. As was practice in days gone by, when a banquet was going to be held, a notification would go out to those that were going to be invited, and then great preparation would take place for the wedding. And what we have before us here is that the master was giving the banquet, and the banquet was now ready, and the invitation has gone out for everybody to come. The servant was sent out with the message to go and speak to those who had received the invitation to come, for everything is now ready. We know that it's the call for the banquet that Jesus is teaching of here in the parable. But with all parables, there is a far higher message that we need to know and to understand. And as we shared with the children in John 14, what Jesus shared in the parable wasn't just about a banquet. It was about the great banquet that will happen when Jesus returns. And that invitation went out saying, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When did the save the date notification go out for Jesus coming? You can go right back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. In Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve had fallen in the garden, God promised that he would send his son. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Right back at the beginning, when the fall happened, God had a plan to redeem the world. The invitation went out that if we came, and as we read through God's word, his call to us is to come to him each and every day. As we go through the Old Testament, we can stop at the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 40. And it says there, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God foretold that his son was going to come. And it goes on in verse 21 of Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? If you've been here before, if you've come here on any Sunday morning and listened to David or one of the many other preachers that have stood here, you've heard that message. And the message hasn't changed this morning. If you went to Sunday school, if you went to Bible class, if you went to youth fellowship, the message is exactly the same. Come, for everything is now ready. Isaiah said, do you not know, do you not hear? You might choose not to understand. You might choose not to listen. You might choose to ignore that message. But the message has gone out. And by you being here, this morning. That message is for each and every one of you. Come, for everything is now ready. We read on in Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you exhausted with the challenges of life? What was the message that Jesus had? Come unto me. Come unto me if you are tired, if you are weary, if you are burdened, and I will give you rest. He spoke to the children this morning. What was Jesus' message to the children? Suffer the little children to come unto me, for as such is the kingdom of God. Parents, let the children come. Let the children come and hear the word of God, that they may indeed be challenged by it. Are you tired? And are you weary? Are you hearing the message to come to Jesus? Because the message hasn't changed. Again, I go back to Isaiah 40. Those who come to Jesus, they're told that their burden will be taken away. Isaiah said, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What would it be like to soar like an eagle? We're privileged to stay where we are. We see the eagles from time to time soaring up above. There's no question when we see an eagle how majestic, how large its wingspan is, that what we've seen is an eagle soaring up above everything, seeing what we cannot see. How many of us know what it is to run and feel weary, to walk and to feel faint because of the burdens that we carry in life? Isaiah told us to come and to wait upon God, and our strength would be renewed. Jesus repeated that call. Come unto me, all those that are weary, are weak, are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God has appointed for each and every one of us to be here this morning, to hear that very message. Come. Come unto me, and come, for everything is now ready. It's ready because there's nothing for us to do. On the cross, Jesus cried out, it is finished. The price has been paid for each and every one of us. All we need to do is come. Not come to me, but to come to Jesus. But we make excuses. What does the passage teach us? Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Excuses. The first was more concerned about his possessions. He'd bought a field without even going to see it. How many of us want something to fill a gap in our lives? Possessions. Something that we need or feel that we need. Something that somebody else has that we want. And we occupy ourselves with getting it. And it becomes an excuse for doing anything else. I must get it. I need to go and get it. Our lives are caught up with amassing treasures here on earth. Thinking of our worth in what we have. Not in what Jesus has to offer. The second, he's more concerned about his work. He'd bought tools for his labour, oxen. How many tradesmen wouldn't research the tools that they were going to buy, whatever job they were going to carry out, that they had the right tools. We'd go to the shop, we'd have a look at them, they would weigh them in their hands and decide what was the best one to get. Yeah, nowadays we can buy things online without even seeing it first, but not without having done our research. Are we putting our work and the things of our work before coming to Christ? Third man, not really sure what I can say about the third man. He refused the opportunity to take his wife out for a free meal. How many of us would want to go home and say that we hadn't taken our wife out for dinner when the offer had been made? But he refused the opportunity to take his wife out for a meal. He never took the opportunity to take his new wife to meet his friends. Was he embarrassed about her? He used his wife as an excuse for not going. It's a warning to us there. Because not only did he not benefit from going to the banquet, his wife didn't benefit from it either. How many of us make decisions that impact not just ourselves, but impact our home family? In Genesis 12, verse 2, at the call of Abram, God says to him, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." Abram was blessed to be a blessing. Do we think of it when we come to church here, that when we hear God's word read, when we sing God's praise together, the blessing that there is in that, and to go out and share that blessing with others? In the New Testament, we read in Acts 16 of the woman of Thyatira, Lydia. One who heard was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well. Lydia put herself in a place where she heard God's word. God blessed her, her heart was opened, but the blessing didn't stop there. It went to her whole household. And similarly with the Philippian jailer later on, in the same passage, we're told that he rejoiced along with his entire household. Are we stopping the blessing that comes from coming to know God, reaching the rest of our family because of decisions we make? As you hear the invitation to come, are you blocking your ears today? Are you saying, "This isn't for me"? As I said earlier on, God has taken each and every one of us here this morning. God is sovereign in everything that happens in life. So often we blame him for all the wrong things that happen, but there are many good things that we have to thank God for. And one of the blessings is that he's taken each and every one of us here this morning to worship him. And the message is going out to you: come, for everything is now ready. What excuse are you going to make for not coming and accepting that invitation? Don't drift off. Don't let your mind be filled with the things of the world. We're going to come back to that point. The servant came back to the master in verse 21. And he said, so the servant came and reported these things to his master. All these excuses had come in. Nobody was coming. So the servant went back. The master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The banquet was ready. The place needed to be filled. The food was there. It had to be eaten. And the master was not prepared to wait. until the banquet was not prepared to start until every place was taken. So a servant was sent out again. The servant came back in verse 22. Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. I can speak to those that are Christians here this morning. Just want to pause on this verse. What does it teach us? Sir, what you commanded has been done. As Christians, we've been commanded, or we've been commissioned, to go into all the world and to make disciples. Can we say, as the servant has, and I say this to myself before I say it to anyone else here, Sir, what you have commanded has been done. Have we answered that call upon our lives to go out and tell everybody to come, for everything is now ready? Are we out sharing the message of salvation each and every day? And more importantly, do we actually recognise and come back to God and say there is still room? Who are we praying for to see them come to the banquet? The servant here knew the master's heart. The master wanted to see the banquet hall filled. The servant had gone to the places that the master had sent him out to. But the servant recognised that still there was room. And he was sent out again. Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. That message is for each and every one of us that are Christians here today. Three times the servant was sent out. Go out with a message. Go out again. And then when he came back and he said there was still room, he was sent out again. And each time he was sent out to different places. And the third time he was sent out to the highways and the hedges, places that were outside his comfort zone. But he was sent there with the same message. But this time, there was a sense of urgency with the message. Compel them to come in. Impress upon them the need to come. Everything is ready. I ask again, do we have a desire to see our lost neighbours saved? The message is simple. Compel them to come in. Oh, but I've spoken to them and they said no. Speak to them again. Compel them to come in. It doesn't say grab them by the scruff of the neck and drag them in kicking and screaming. Show them the urgency and the real desire that you have to see them saved for Christ. Plead with them. Plead with them each and every day. We spoke about save the date. For Rebecca and Craig's wedding, we knew when that date was going to be. As the kids were able to tell us, we don't know when Christ is coming back. But while we wait, there is still room. Are we compelling them to come in? I said I would revisit the invitation. When we sent out invitations for Rebecca and Craig's wedding, as with any invitation for a wedding, there's an RSVP. Please respond as quickly as possible. There were some who accepted the wedding invitation very quickly. They were delighted to be able to come. There was others who chose not to come. There was others who said they would come, but then as the time got closer, decided they wouldn't come. But I was paying a set fee for every seat that there was in the banquet hall, and I wanted to make sure that every seat was filled. So more invitations went out. Sad thing is, that was a one-off event. The wedding happened on the 13th of May. Those that accepted the invitation tasted the food, heard the speeches, enjoyed the party. It's not going to happen again. It took 10 months to prepare for the wedding. And as I say, there was different responses to the invitations. We have one opportunity for Christ returning. Nobody will come back to tell what the story was like, how good the food was, the speeches, or anything. Are you going to come? Because like those that made excuses in the parable, there was those that made excuses not to come. And a warning to us was, there was wives came to the wedding without their husbands. There was kids came to the wedding without their parents. Some chose to accept, some chose to reject. And sadly, that's going to be the same on the day of judgment. But nobody here this morning can say that they weren't invited. Nobody here this morning can say, I never heard. And I hope that nobody here this morning can say that they didn't understand what the message was, to come, for everything is now ready. Christ stands with his arms wide open for each and every one of us. And he cries out, come unto me. Are you going to come to him? The table here was set 6 weeks ago for the communions. There was those that chose not to come to the table. Are you going to let another season pass where you're not going to come and honour your Lord and your God and do what he commands of us to do in remembrance of him? Come, for everything is now ready. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the openness of your message to each and every one of us. We thank you for the command that it gives to us to come. Not to come to any man, not to come to any church, but to come unto you. For the price has been paid. It is finished. You have gone to prepare a place for each one of us. If it were not so, you would have told us. And having gone, you will return. We know not when that date will be, but we pray that we would indeed be ready, that we would be waiting with anticipation, waiting with expectation, waiting upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll close our service singing to God's praise in Mission Praise 494. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. And the hymn writer goes on, that if we have an idol in our heart, let us tear it away, and let us worship God alone, and walk close with him, that we would indeed know that light and that walk that leads us to Jesus. Stand if you can to sing God's praise. To him that is able to keep us from stumbling, to prevent us spotless before his glorious presence, with all joy and all power, to God our Saviour, glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, for now and evermore. Amen.